is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com and Stratacache. This is the Scholar Report, a global technology company transforming the retail space with digital signage. And we are attending to the world as we understand it post-pandemic, projecting a little, and learning that data, data, data is the revelation of this last year. The data that we use in order to do our work from home means that the data at home is vital to our work, and it turns out to some part of the Chinese economy. Perhaps this is global. Chris, a very good evening to you. I learned from you. You bring to my attention Winston Smith, 1984. I remember vividly reading that novel. I was a young teenager and was overwhelmed by the details. But the one that made sense to me was his television spied on him and talked to him. And he had found a way to arrange his small little apartment. This is in Airstrip 1, which was a post-catastrophe London projecting into the future. He had found a place in his small, oddly shaped room to be out of the view of Big Brother on the television. China, however, has advanced this, or some part of China. There's always deniability, to use a smart TV to collect data. How does it work, Chris? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. In the era of smart devices, whether that's a smart TV, a video game console, your smartphone, all of those devices have the necessary elements for either state-based actors or other to be able to spy on you. They have cameras, they have microphones, they have processors, and they allow for software. So that being said, there's been an ongoing challenge in the consumer electronics industry where the quote-unquote smart TVs, which are internet-connected and allow you to serve up your favorite series on a Netflix or an Amazon, also have the processors and cameras that allow those devices to observe what's going on in the room, maybe count the number of people, provide statistics back, and that could be used for some very nefarious purposes.
Gozen Data, that's the name of this firm, Gozen Data, and it is apologizing. It's also making adjustments to its website because it was, I presume, from this report, accidentally caught out by a wizard who determined that there was a slowdown in the product. And when he went in, he saw that Gozen was collecting data. How did they do it? Say we're in a room of three people watching a Game of Thrones, and they all have their iPhones with them, and they're chatting among themselves. What could Gozen Data do with that?
So that type of a system could tell you how many devices or people are in the room, what are they viewing on the screen, what are they viewing on their phones at that moment in time. It's safe to say that any of those smart devices being able to call back to an origin server somewhere, and this is also increasingly on the radar of U.S. intelligence for things like camera systems that might be purchased from China, those devices have a tendency to want to phone home. Who they're phoning to and what they're yielding back is the concern or the caution.
And is this data could be collected from any smart TV? In other words, it doesn't matter who made the TV, whether it was made with the intention of spying or whether it was made quite independent of that. You could place these devices in those TVs, or is this something that's done remotely? In other words, you don't have a little box in your TV. It comes from somewhere else.
Yeah, it's done remotely, and it's relatively common practice in law enforcement with warrants or the intelligence business without to be able to hack those devices, being able to identify the IP address of that device, insert malicious code, and then turn that into an observation point to observe who, what is going on in that room at any one time.
Now, maybe it's an urban legend, but there has been chatter that with the 5G, 6G, 7G, I don't know how many Gs they're working on now, we'll have the Internet of Everything so that I can be connected to my refrigerator, my radio, and perhaps the garage door, all of that. Does that also suggest that all of those devices can be used to collect data on whoever is in the area or using them?
What you have to understand in modern technology, which should be concerning for consumers, is that you as the consumer are not necessarily the owner, you're the product. So whether it be your smartphone, your tablet, your smart home, your smart TV, your smart garage door opener, it's highly likely in the terms and conditions of use in that user agreement that everyone's scans through and clicks yes, I accept without ever reading, that you're giving that vendor, that company, permission to use your data for them to monetize in a different way. So the moral of the story is be very careful what you wish for. Orwell's vision of the future is materialized times 10 and should be of concern.
This would connect with that odd news report that some official part of China was insisting to Tesla that all the data you collect cannot leave China. I think I read that, and it struck me as odd at the time. I believe Tesla must go along with this. That's the terms of doing business. So that's what China was aware of, that the car could collect data of the people inside the car?
The way to think of it is that that car could collect data, cameras on that car, let's say that that car was driven onto a Chinese military base, could be activated and used. Another great example, and a lot of this data falls into the category of geospatial data, knowing who or where a person is and what might be around them. Before prior engagement between the Russians and the Ukrainians over the Crimea, the Russian special forces used data to know where Ukrainian artillery operators were stationed to be able to wipe them out from their smartphones and triangulate. So this data translates into very actionable military use cases in something as simple as I didn't think that I shouldn't take my smartphone to the front line and get my entire team wiped out.
Advertising. An article at The Economist identifies something in my iPhone that I didn't know existed. It's called the Identifier for Advertisers, IFDA code. And there's been a change by Apple. If I understand it, and there's a lot of inside talk here, this makes the advertisers, the digital advertisers, less effective, or perhaps they have to pay more to reach their audience. Why would Apple change this? Were there complaints? Is this privacy as well, Chris?
So the way to think about it is that when you're born, the government gives you a social security number. When you buy your first iPhone, Apple gives you an advertising ID. And when you first go to Google, Google gives you an advertising ID. Of those three numbers, the Google and Apple are by far the most monetizable. In those environments, what Apple is saying is that for the protection of the consumer, they're going to restrict some of the access to that data. However, in what would be a very, very interesting study by, say, an antitrust review in Congress, it may be worth taking a look at the privilege that Apple ad services have over third-party ad services as Apple is continuing to increase the size of the walls on the walled garden and say, for your protection, we're going to restrict X, but if you buy on the Apple ad exchange, restriction X is lifted.
Can Apple step in front of Amazon and Facebook on Apple products? Is that considered industry competition, or is that purloining somebody else's privileges?
It's a great question. There's a very fine line between what could be seen as competitive innovation versus antitrust. Now, Apple's one of those 800-pound gorillas in the room, and because they've made such a loyal following and have built such a deep ecosystem, it's very tough for them to shake that risk of antitrust, similar to the way that Microsoft did 20 years ago. But it's definitely in that gray area that should be of concern.
Do the advertisers gain or lose with these adjustments by the software makers?
The advertisers are forced to aggregate into Apple's services more and more. So Apple has appropriately understood businesses like Google, which are driven by advertising, that the more control you have over that ecosystem, the higher the rate that you can charge. So I would say in general, while there may be some privacy aspects to this, this is a power consolidation by Apple to funnel more and more ad dollars through their exchanges, in which case makes that more and more profitable for Apple.
So my iPhone is watching me watch my smart TV, which is watching me watch my iPhone. Is that what I should have both a smart TV and an iPhone in the room, and we could have a three-way conversation. Is that it?
As was shown in the Terminator movies, at some point Skynet becomes self-aware, and we're all just excess molecules.
Chris, this is a trend in place not to be interrupted. Is that the understanding? Those devices we've made a bargain with those devices and they're part of our lives. Is that correct?
The Faustian bargain is that we're trading convenience for privacy within the generations. The consumer will decide, is the consumer okay with this being sold? And would I rather drive that 2021 Tesla Model S or a 69 Firebird that's going to do nothing but consume natural resources and give an enjoyable ride?
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.